So I was recently asked to write an essay for a collection about living with pain. I've been having a hard time with that. I worked on it for about 3 weeks, and so far it's not coming together. And part of the reason it's not coming together, I realized, is because pain is such a huge and important topic that to do it justice, I would have to do a book. I don't really want to do a book. It's kind of like when I wrote The Culture of Make-Believe, that started as a 5-page introduction to an encyclopedia of hate groups. And I wrote a page or so, and then I asked the question, what is a hate group? Which leads to the question of what is hate? Where does hate come from? And the book exploded. And I'm feeling that if I wanted to go that direction, the same thing could happen here, because what are the implications of pain, and what are our relationships to pain? And what I've said so far in the essay is I started off with my childhood and how we learned to box off pain, that we learned to, that there are times where it's appropriate to feel pain and times where it's appropriate to not. And a great example of this is you see lots of horror movies, every bad horror movie, you know, that some protagonist is running through the forest and then being chased by the killer with a chainsaw or with a butcher knife or a gun or something. And of course, when this person's running through the forest, they stumble. And of course, they turn their ankle. And then of course, they scream, giving away their location. And then of course, they stop and rub their ankle for a little while and then get up and sort of hobble away. And this is, of course, complete nonsense. What happens in reality is that if you stumble and break your ankle, first off, you don't scream because you don't give away your location. And second off, you don't rub your ankle. And third, you don't hobble. You run like the wind, because your ankle and the rest of you knows that if you don't, you die. And what you do is you then run and tell either A, your body, or B, your will, give out, or C, you get away. And so that's under conditions of fight or flight, where we put away pain. And then there are other circumstances in which it is appropriate to feel pain, and pain can teach us things. And a great example of this is that I broke my foot playing intramural football in college. And I had been taught as a child, you know, through the abuse, to not mind the pain. And so I kept jumping on my broken foot and kept re-breaking the foot. And as a consequence, I broke my foot in the fall, and track season wasn't until the spring. I was breaking it in practice. And as a consequence, I wrecked the whole season and also felt a lot more pain. Whereas if I would have just listened to the pain in the first place, then it would have healed soon enough. And so I'm thinking about all those things, but it's like, I don't really care on the big social level. Those are semi-interesting anecdotes I can tell, but what does that actually mean when the world's being killed? And then another part I've been thinking about this is something that my friend John Keeble said to me back soon after he wrote a book on the Valdez oil spill. And he talked about how, you know, there was a massive death up there, and both the oil company and the environmentalists had these weird attitudes about death. That on one hand, the oil company was systematically denying death and denying that the death had taken place and underplaying it. And at the same time, a lot of the environmentalists were very maudlin about it, showing individual pictures of individual pelicans in an attempt to raise money. And he said neither of those are very helpful, that both of those are escapist, and we have an escapist and odd relationship with death in the first place. And so I've been thinking about that more and more. And there's another story I want to tell too, which is that maybe 15 years ago now, a friend of mine called, and she's an environmental activist, and she had been for a couple of years at that point. And she called up and said, you know, this work is just killing me. It's breaking my heart. It's so incredibly painful. I said, yeah, it is. And it will break your heart. And then she said, you know, dominant culture is killing everything, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. And she said, it hates everything, doesn't it? And I said, yeah, it does, even itself. And then she said, we're not going to make some great new glorious tomorrow, are we? And I said the thing I knew all along was the best thing I could say, which is, I've been waiting for you to say that. And the reason I know it's the best thing to say is because I've been undergoing a similar collapse 10 years previous to that. I'd been an activist for several years, and I was just bursting into sobs about the salmon, about just the murder of the planet all the time. And a lot of my environmentalist friends were saying, you know, just don't worry about it. Take a couple weeks off. The poem's to be here when you come back, and just get back to work. But I knew that that wasn't what I needed to do. So I called my friend Jeanette Armstrong, who's an Okanagan Indian writer and activist. And I said to her, man, this work is so painful. It's breaking my heart. And she said, yeah, it is painful, and it will do that. And I said, the dominant culture hates everything, doesn't it? She said, yeah, it does, even itself. I said, it's going to kill everything on the planet unless it stops, won't it? She said, yeah, it will unless it stopped. And I said, we're not going to make some great new glorious tomorrow, won't we? We're not going to, will we? And she said, I've been waiting for you to say that. And the reason that was the best thing she could possibly say is because it normalized my despair. And it let me realize that despair is an appropriate response to a desperate situation. And the point is that so many environmentalists spend so much of our energy trying to avoid feeling the pain of living in this time of the murder of the planet. And we don't realize that it's not so much the sorrow or even the pain that hurts as it is our resistance to it. And so my point in bringing all this up is that whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, I think just like my friend John Keeble said about our relationship with death, I think that we have a very obscure, very not obscure, a very strange and escapist relationship with pain as well. I think we both make it into something more and something less than what it is. And it's either we make it something to be avoided so that if we have the tiniest tummy ache, we need to take 15 pills to resolve it. Or the patriarchal also response is to just buck up. Don't be such a girl. Those are inverted commas, by the way. And to don't be a pussy, you know, to instead man up and just walk through the pain, ignore the pain. And those are both forms of denial. And I'm not suggesting, I want to be really clear, I'm not suggesting that nobody ever take any pain pills. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm suggesting that our relationship to pain, okay, considering that for many of us, pain is a constant companion, and for all of us, we will experience pain. We don't talk about it, and we don't enter into a conscious relationship with someone who is a companion with us our whole life. And we don't, part of the problem is that when we feel pain, just like when someone dies, we not only feel the loss, which is a part of life, but instead there is a sense of betrayal that we feel toward the universe. Because in this culture, in this patriarchal culture, we are up here. We are not our bodies. We are not mortal. Instead, everybody else is supposed to die. One of the premises of Endgame is that we live in a culture with a rigid yet often unarticulated hierarchy, whereby violence done by those higher on the hierarchy to those lower is invisible, and when it is noticed, it's fully rationalized. And violence done by those lower on the hierarchy to those higher is unthinkable. And when it does happen, it's met with shock, horror, and the fetishization of the victims. So there is a sense of betrayal that I too die. And there's a sense of betrayal that I too can have any limitations put on me. Oh, it's okay. You know, I understand that, you know, we can go ahead and poison grasshoppers, and we can poison beetles, and we can poison wolves, and we can shoot elephants, and you know, I was talking to somebody not very long ago who did one of the things that is absolutely unforgivable. He was bear hunting and he shot the bear and was not able to find it. And so he harmed it without killing it and without then eating the meat. And, but that's just a drag, as opposed to, for that bear, its life is now destroyed. And so my point is that when we ourselves experience pain, when we ourselves experience a constraint upon our behavior, and I say this as someone who has had many constraints imposed upon me by various diseases, that there is this sense of betrayal. It's not supposed to happen to me. This death thing is not supposed to happen to me. And one of the things that John Keeble said is that he thinks that the way out, or one of the ways out of our escapist attitude toward death, is to recognize, as he puts it, that death is a part of the grid of daily life. And we see death all around us. There are those who die. You know, I walk through a forest every day, and the forest is fueled by death. There are dead trees, and the mushrooms eat the dead trees. And I'm going to sneeze, and this will probably expel any number of viruses who are going to die. Actually, maybe I won't sneeze now, because got to make sure I don't kill them. And I think that the answer is the same for pain. And again, I'm not saying that one should never take any Vicodin. I'm not saying that one should never take any aspirin. I'm not saying that one should not take something to numb pain sometimes or when necessary. What I'm saying is that we need to rejigger. We need to reconfigure. We need to rethink our relationship to pain. And we need to recognize that some pain is part of the grid of daily life. We need to recognize that pain and death are simply pain and death. They are not betrayals. They are part of the price of admission to this whole wonderful party.